Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you some news.
Not the best.
From this side of the pond.
How you doing? How you doing, sir?
Ooh, I have to be honest, not too good.
Not great.
That was, I'm speechless. I'm without speech.
Sir, it's not often that you're without speech. First loss to Liverpool in 5 years. 19 points adrift. They're first in the table. We're sixth. And it was just an abject. It wasn't just losing. There was nothing other than the equalizer was, you know, and the thought maybe in the second half that we'd be able to eke out a dirty win or a dirty draw. It was pretty ugly stuff.
I think deep down inside, we all knew what the result of this match would be. I actually called 3-1 on the last pod, not to brag about my prediction.
Not the first to brag. Here. Not the first time to brag about getting it right, sir. Bragging. My 0-0 was generous. It was a generous 0-0.
Should have bet it at William Hill. Either way, it's just the way we looked. It's how we played. And again, it's, you know, a 3-1, you know, you get a bad call here or there. You know, there's reasons for 3-1, but that 3-1, that first 20 minutes, though, the 36 shots, 36. The 19 points difference between these two teams, everything that has happened this season, it was all out there to see on Sunday. A light was shined on the weaknesses in this club, the dysfunction of the board, Woodward, the manager, and then the players. It looked like we didn't even know what game we're playing out there. So disorganized, Sunday league stuff, defending 9 behind the ball at some point, desperate. This team, I don't know what to say here. I mean, you can jump in the starting 11, but I mean it doesn't even matter at this point because of the only player I could say that did any job was Dave Saves, obviously. Amazing saves from him. But everyone else, just mediocre.
Two worldies for David De Gea. I mean, the thing that was so sad about the game, sir, beyond just losing to the Scousers, have them go first in the league, is the fact that it exposed how glaring the issues are at Manchester United at the moment. Because they are wide, bro. They are chasms that are deep. They run deep beyond Mourinho, beyond Pogba Bad Blood, into the boardroom, into the ownership, and throughout the club, dude. This club has major issues. Major, major, major issues. And we came out with this performance, park the bus, dude. Park the double-decker bus. We put out, like, basically, like, 7 defenders, you know, between Herrera and Matic. It was tough, bro. It was tough to watch, and it was embarrassing because we should go out there and we should always go to Anfield for a win.
Yeah, we should try to play to win the game, you know, Herm Edwards said famously in the NFL, we did not play to win the game. We played to just hang in there. We looked like, you know, English League 2. Seriously. We made Liverpool look better than they are. I think the players on the field are better than that. For some reason, they are kind of, they've lost all their mojo, I want to say, except for that Alisson error. And, you know, I think you said it best. It's scary to see the shambles that the club is in, and actually coming to terms with that is the hardest part about this loss. 19 points off Liverpool, top 4 is gone. We got a horrific Champions League draw today. Oof. And you know, it also is a point where we can also, I gave myself a day. Yesterday was tough. I was watching all the post-match commentary, hearing from the United legends, and really, you know, sulking in it. And this morning I had to get up early, go to the gym,
sweat out
this loss here. And, you know, it just starts with a long-term view of this club and believing that, you know, this ownership or new ownership could get the ship right, and having real expectations for our team and understanding that this season is a waste. Next season will probably be a waste. The year after that, maybe. And it's going to take a long time to rebuild this club. And so, you can't be day trading this club right now. You need to be thinking long term. You got to really appreciate the history, maybe watch a few highlights from the good old days, get you through this period. But it's going to take a lot of turnover here from the players, from the staff, and the manager, most likely, maybe even in the boardroom. So top to bottom, this club is due for some fresh blood, and it's going to be a while before we see the old Manchester United play against Liverpool.
Yeah, I don't even know if we'll ever see the true old Manchester United just like completely dominating for decades. We're not going to see that again.
Sure, we will. We decades? Will. We will.
We'll see it. We'll see a Premier League winning team, right? We will.
Within we might not be alive to see it, but Manchester United will be back.
I hope so, sir. I mean, but this team has some good players. It's just that, like, when you go up and you have no confidence in the squad, and then you put out a team like this, bro, it's like you would have thought half our team was injured.
Well, let's get into it. Jose picked the 3-4-2-1. Dave saves in net. Darmian, what do you mean? Baye comes in, Smalling is injured in warm-ups. Lindelof and Young. I had a feeling Lindelof would be trying to make it back for this match, although I think it's too soon for him. Rashford, Matic, Herrera, Dalot, Lingard, and Lukaku. The 3-4-2-1 turned into a 7-2-1. It was most seven players behind the ball for most of the first half and the second. You know, there were some spells where we got out of our half, but it was far and few, sir.
Five of the back did not work. You know, we looked a little bit better in the second half once Fellaini came in and played in front of a back four, but the back five was like nothing doing, no possession in midfield. The only way I could see this working is with a Pogba that can like connect.
He should have started.
Without a doubt, bro.
When I saw this lineup, I was so pissed because Pogba's got to start. Even if you don't like him, he's got to play in the big games. He paid the money. Even if Jose should get more criticism because he didn't play him. If you play him and he sucks, it's all on Pogba. And I do think that you got to play the big player for the big games. But Jose just has so much salt. Can't do it.
Dude, and you just played so behind such a backward line, right? So we weren't even playing the high press. We were just like folding, letting them have a lot of the ball, not putting enough pressure on them, and then just getting everybody in the box, right? A lot of big men. But midfield never had a chance to take over the game. You know, that's where you need Pogba. That's where you need a three-man midfield, not a two, in Herrera and Matic, who had too much to do for the boys up front,
couldn't
too, bro.
Couldn't pick a pass. Couldn't even pick a pass. The hardest part is we got the ball.
Too many players behind the ball, bro.
We got the ball. We couldn't even break out or do anything. But, hey, enough lamenting about that. We're going to give you a quick recap here. Don't need to relive this horrific match. I'm sure all you listening to the pod watched it in real time. First half, like we said, abysmal start from United. Liverpool on the front foot, taking it to us. Something that we were used to back in the day. And we were scrambling. Like I said, League Two defending at best. Seven players all following the ball. We were exposed. Lots of shots in and outside the box. Dave Save called in pretty early on a few shots. Some efforts by Fabinho outside the box as well. And Firmino inside the box. But it wasn't until the 24th minute we had been bending and not breaking. But Liverpool had their goal, and it was a beauty. A lofted pass from Fabinho catches Mane on a run. Young caught snoozing here. Mane chested the volley, and nice finish pass to Gea. No shot, wide open. I mean, terrible defending from United.
I mean, they had already registered 10 shots at this point, the 24th minute, compared to our zero. But, dude, ball watching, bro, at its finest right there. Young just like sleeping on the job, bro. You get docked a day's pay for sleeping on the job.
To his credit, he made a tackle on Salah on the other side of the pitch right before this. So Young looked pretty fierce. And then I think it was just that type of defending where it's desperate players or defenders being pulled out of position. You know, no one knows where they should be playing. And then you can only be on your game for so many minutes of defending.
That's a little
generous.
I mean, there's like Baye, Lindelof, Darmian, even all had like pretty good acts of.
It was pretty
individual. It was all desperate. It was very desperate.
It didn't
look like team
defending
at all, dude. It was like we have some good individuals. I think Baye and Lindelof should be our starting pairing when everyone's fit of the crop available. That's my starting two center backs. But like the boys look like they never practiced defense before. It was just a bunch of individuals running around. There was no cohesion. No like one line that waves and breaks but doesn't, you know, bends but doesn't break. We just look like all over the place.
And out of nowhere in the 33rd minute, Manchester United with the goal, we equalize. Lukaku darts behind the Liverpool defense, smokes Lovren. Shout out to the best defender ever,
yeah,
self-proclaimed world-class defender. Alisson muffs the cross right into Lingard, who finishes it over the top, and United 1-1 out of nothing. We had nothing up until this point. So, I mean, hey, you're looking at this game. Maybe we can muddy the waters, get a draw, maybe get a winner similar to like the Juve on a set piece, sir. Maybe, you know.
Part of me thought that in the second half when Fellaini came out, I thought he'd be the difference member, but our intensity dropped off. But I think the only thing we got out of this game was that like all those chump Liverpool fans are acting like Alisson was the best keeper in the world. Bro, thank you. That just, they had two world class saves in this, and then the commentators were like, good save, bro. Those saves are like out of this world saves that not many goalkeepers are making. So let's let the record state.
Hey, it's David a popularity.
Best in the world. We got him.
It's a popularity contest.
That's all we got.
And for some reason, De Gea has never gotten his due in the international media. But, it, you know, we know it. We see it week in, week out. I'd rather have no keeper on my side than Dave Says. Maybe, except for when he plays for Spain. Let's jump in the second half. Ooh, it was tough. Sub, Fellaini comes on for Dalot. Some people thought that was a little unfair. But I think Mourinho was seeing that we need to shore this thing up. Get the big Belgium in there. The froless Belgian, I would say, as well.
It was actually, I would say, sir, it was a little bit better, actually. I mean, relative better, right? Better in the sense that, like, we weren't offering anything going forward, but we looked much more assured at the back with Fellaini and a back four. We just, like, it was a little bit better, but it was like the tactic was very much like, don't even try, just don't give up a goal, right? Don't go for it.
Yeah,
and if we get a free kick, if we get a corner, you're playing for the draw. But, like, that being said, it was a little bit more watchable in the first 20 minutes until we did give up said goal.
Yeah, but even going forward, like Lingard had a few, you know, when we were 1-1 kind of in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, Lingard did get forward and he had a lot of time on the ball and, you know, a little more composure. He could have picked a pass, supporting runners coming in. I think Herrera came into the
that
box
one time
on one
Herrera
of them.
Herrera came in. That was a good chance.
Lingard, you know, he did get the goal and he has been playing well for England, but he had, just like Rashford, he's lacking that composure to really pick the right pass. And I think that I could pick four opportunities he had in their third with the ball, and he gave away pretty cheaply, including that one where he skied over Lukaku at the far post. But, you know, despite some of those forward runs from Jesse not going anywhere, the 73rd minute goal to Liverpool, Mane's low cross from the byline flashes across the goal. De Gea momentarily flicks it away from danger with his foot, but only as far as Shaqiri, whose deflected shot off Ashley Young cannons into the back of the net via the underside of the crossbar. I mean, a lot to get to here. If you look at the initial play, the defending from United is so desperate. Looking at the tactical cams, if you watch Match of the Day and see the breakdown, there is like seven defenders inside the box, all chasing the ball, and the ball squirts back out to Shaqiri, who's wide open for the shot. And that is just such schoolboy stuff from a defense perspective. Obviously, a lucky deflection. Who knows if Shaqiri would have even hit it on net without it hitting Ashley Young. So that was a little unfair here. But again, watching this professional football team with all that money being paid playing in this unorganized fashion, especially with Mourinho at the helm, is very disturbing.
Dude, he's always been known for having great defenses. That, as you said, man, tactical cam, just watching the like the right above cam, watching the six players near the ball just stand and get beat, and no one's there watching the backside. Hell of a deflection. Lucky bounce in, but like we deserved it based on the defending.
Ball watching, too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the schoolboy stuff. It's just incredible. It's like players just shut off. It's like if there was some sort of organization in here and we were playing too defensively and we got beat, that's one thing. But to look that way and get beat like the way we did is just, there's no hope. There's absolutely no hope for this side, no hope for this manager, unfortunately. 80th minute sub, way too late in my opinion. Martial on for Herrera. I think Herrera didn't play that well either. Going to have to look at Jose for that start. He was pretty sloppy. And again, you know, he gave away a penalty earlier and he just looked a little too desperate. Herrera just not coming off the season for whatever reason. I'm a Herrera fan, have been in the past, but to leave him on for 80 minutes, we didn't look that good. Something's got to give here. 81st minute goal to Liverpool again. Another deflection from Shaqiri the second time. Deflect off Bailly this time. Finds his way past De Gea. So Shaqiri, the little midget, getting a little lucky. The little Swiss midget getting a little lucky here.
He is yoked, bro. He's like a little miniature people.
Hard
know?
To like.
Sometimes they like it yoked.
Hard to like him.
He's good business, though, dude. What, $17 million? That's a good buy. That's like the kind of buys we used to make. And we were talking about it. That would have been a good buy because he's cheap, Premier League proven, and it's like he's all upside. So both these goals were lucky, to be fair. I mean, they could have sliced us up way earlier in the game, but just showing the kind of options you have off the bench. Martial did come on, but we weren't set up to attack, you know, like the 80th minute. The fact that he only came on in the 80th minute means that we weren't going for a win. We were just like, oh, well, now at this point, we got to try and save the draw.
Well, you could see, yeah, Jose was playing for the draw, which is why he had no subs, right? He didn't want to bring out Martial. He's not going to play defense. Neither was Mata, who he brought in the 85th minute for Lingard. So he's clearly going for the 1-1 here, and he almost got away with it, if not for these two kind of ugly deflection goals. I mean, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't, right? And clearly we were on the other side of that. But, you know, to see all the Liverpool fans celebrate like they won the league against us, is that says a lot, right? Because Manchester United, we've had their number for a long time, and for this game to mean so much when we're such a shit side, I mean, tying Crystal Palace, almost losing to Southampton, and for them to celebrate like this when they beat us at home is, you know, a little much. I had my Liverpool fan friends texting me, oh, do you see the game? Oh, this and that. I was like, City, the 3-1 at City was way more emphatic than this. I actually thought we probably could have got away with the draw if not for these deflection goals. Again, didn't look good. We probably didn't deserve it. But again, Liverpool didn't look that dangerous in the second half.
They didn't. They didn't look like when City, that City game, bro. I mean, that's a free throw on attack. And that is a much better team. I mean, the City should win the league, but Liverpool just looks so good because we look like absolute shit, bro. It was like one of the worst performances. I guess a better team, but they're not to write home about. So this just shows that, like, United has no structure to them. Doesn't seem to be coached. I think you had said months ago, like, does Mourinho even coach these guys anymore? And this is the first game where I looked at it and I was like, are they actually getting coached? That goal, bro, the fact that they're all packed in like that, like no zone deep, it looked like there was no tactics at all. Just go out and play, park the bus, and let's hope Nick a win maybe if we're lucky. But
yeah, I would say we were worse in this game than the City game.
Yeah.
And I think City played better than Liverpool, obviously trying to comp those two sides, who's going to win the league. If I was a smart betting man, I'd bet City to win the league, mainly because my argument is, all this money is going to come in on Liverpool now because they're first. City probably is the better side. And then it's an emotional hedge. So Liverpool most likely choke, City win, and then you make a little money as a Manchester United fan.
The line will also be better because there's going to be more – there's more chump City, Liverpool fans overall, just because Liverpool have been around for so long. They're counting on them to win, so they're all going to be betting that they're winning the league. So, like, the arbitrage is for sure the fact that Liverpool is going to tilt the numbers.
Hey, but if there's any upside, we're going to be able to watch them melt down. I know that you heard it here on this pod. Liverpool ain't winning nothing. They ain't going to win no league. Jurgen Klopp ain't won nothing. Manchester City is better. Anyone could see that. I mean, the hype train is behind Liverpool. Everyone loves it. It's a huge story. Haven't won in a long time. They got a great front three. They're going to have injuries, right? And everyone loves Klopp, which is kind of, that's the most unfair part in this sort
he's
of
a whiny bitch.
The hype game.
He whines just like Mourinho, makes complaints. He's not always been right up to be. I think Pochettino is like the more the likable guy in the big top four, top five. It's like he's way more likable than Klopp. Klopp's like those
he's
nasty ass fucking
month.
Teeth.
The flavor,
get
into it. But hey, finishing up this match here, Mata.
Have to say, that's all we got.
Mata in the 85th. I wish he would have come on like at halftime. We really needed some composure from Mata to try to get the balls in the channels. And the one thing that's the most disturbing is clearly Manchester United was going to play long ball here. Like, boot the ball over the back line into the channel, have Rashford run in behind. That's where Liverpool's going to be vulnerable. I'm sure Jose told him to do that. Nobody did that. Not one defender, not one midfielder. Hit the ball in the channel for Lukaku or Rashford or even Lingard for that matter. It was just, there was no tactics, and it was just probably the worst game I've seen United play since Sir Alex left.
Should we get to the match reaction, or you want to talk about
Olympiacos? I mean, what other game is worse you could come up with for Manchester United since Sir Alex left?
I mean, there's been a couple like of those ugly 0-0s under Van Gaal, but this is probably it, bro. Just because it's Liverpool, we went out with like, I guess the same way we went out last year, we went out to draw at Anfield, where I think we have a team that's good enough to compete.
Maybe
right?
Sevilla, but I mean, this is worse. I think this is emphatically the worst game. I think I tweeted that out as well. I believe this is the lowest low since Sir Alex left, because we have spent over £1 billion, and we are just nowhere. We are nowhere. This is worse than Moyes mathematically, and, you know, I'm saying that, like, I don't even think we played that bad. Moyes was tough to watch, but that was harder, in my opinion, to see that after all the managers we had, all the money we spent. is just mind-boggling. It's almost like we're destined to spend another £1 million and look terrible.
At least a billion. Maybe more, sir.
I mean, I meant a billion, sorry.
Yeah, it's gonna be at least a billion.
A billion.
How much you got? How much you got?
Billion and not get any better. Match reaction, possession. Ooh, Liverpool 65% at Anfield to Manchester United 35%. Terrible. Shots on target, Liverpool 11 to Manchester United 2.
It's worse.
And they had 36 shots. I think against Brighton they had 19 or something like that. I think they had 19 against Cardiff. Against the worst sides in the Premier League, they didn't even come close to 36 shots. That's almost twice what they lit up Cardiff on at home.
Well, a lot of these were just speculative shots that's out of the box. But that's partly a product that, you know,
that's
tight.
A stat. I don't think we've...
No, I agree, but
that
it's also like...
That is a
bad
stat.
We gave them too much of the ball. We gave them way too much of the ball. We had never had any intention of trying to boss the midfield.
Yeah,
we have a midfield capable of doing it, bro.
If Crystal Palace comes to Anfield, they are not letting up 36 shots. That is unbelievable. If a relegation-bound Southampton come to Anfield, they're not even letting up anywhere close to that amount of shots. We are freaking Manchester United.
Well,
what is going on? That is unbelievable. That is like, if you think about that
stat. How many of those
were
outside the box, sir? How many of those were outside the box?
That has nothing to do
with
it.
It does, though.
Dude.
People taking ridiculous shots from out of nowhere that aren't going to beat David
They
De Gea.
Don't take ridiculous shots out of nowhere against shit EPL sides because shit EPL sides don't even give them the ball as much as we are doing, even though we have £1 billion in our team.
Sir, let's go.
How do you not think that stat is a big deal? You dismiss that.
I'm not dismissing it, but I think it's like it's overstated by the fact that they're all trying to score bangers from outside the box that they weren't going to score in this game. Like, to the fact that 10, 15 shots that wouldn't have been taken.
If it was 15 shots or 12, it's 36.
I'm talking about
how many are outside the box compared to inside the box? That is an unbelievable number of shots.
It's a lot of shots.
And for a top side like Manchester United to give up those shots, I don't care how defensive you're playing, you have to assume that these shit EPL
it was the worst performance we've
like,
seen, sir. This is probably the worst Manchester United performance I've ever seen as a Manchester United fan, right? As being a fan for 15 years, this is the worst game I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like, we've only been on the other side of this. This is why Manchester United
fans
are
possible. Even when we lost 7-1, bro, to City, we played better than this.
All right, let's get into it. Liverpool are now 19 points ahead of Manchester United, their biggest lead ever over them after 17 games of an English top flight season. Unbelievable.
Rough
this
stuff.
Is the biggest gap between Liverpool. I mean, that is alarm bells right there. Something's got to give. Liverpool have also recorded their biggest Premier League victory over Manchester United at Anfield since winning 3-1 in March 2011 and their first win in 5 years versus United. So doesn't come cheap. Wins against Manchester United for Liverpool don't come cheap. And Manchester United have now conceded 29 goals.
This is the worst thing yet, bro.
In the Premier League this season, one more than they did the entirety of the 2017-18 campaign and the most goals they conceded at this stage of a top-flight campaign since 1962-63. Sir, what do you have to say to Ed Woodward?
I have to say, Ed Woodward, get the hell out of town, bro. Let's find someone to replace you. Let's get a new owner. Let's get a new chairman. Let's get a new coach.
I'm confident that we don't need to buy any center backs.
But I think this is... largely justified. That's very interesting. 62-63. So that means, like, we were in complete turmoil then, right? This was 5 years after Munich. In some ways, like, Fergie is our mini Munich. You know, I don't mean that insensitively, but I'm just saying it. Like, it was a cataclysmic change of the club. This does fit with the timing that I call 10 years after Fergie leaves, right? We're basically, I think it's 2008. 2028, bro, we're winning.
Yeah, let's hope that it's closer. Maybe the lower 2022.
Five more years?
Something like that. Yeah, I'd say 5 years. Manchester United have picked up 26 points after their first 17 Premier League games. Their worst points haul in the top flight at this stage since 1990-91. Oh, terrible. And then Liverpool's Alisson, if there's any...
Great stat. I had to include the stat.
If there's any upside here, Liverpool's Alisson has made as many errors leading to goals in the Premier League this season as Mignolet and Karius combined in 2017-18, which is two. So,
great stuff.
For all the world-class talk about Alisson, he is mediocre. Just watch him crash and burn. Liverpool crash and burn. I'm confident about that. They got a great front three. Midfield, defense.
Van Dijk's pretty good. I take Van Dijk.
Van Dijk's good.
He's good. He's really
Robertson's
good.
Robertson's legit. I mean, but they're not. They don't have the best defense in the EPL, I don't think, over the long term of the season. We shall see, though. Post-game quotes. Mourinho, quote, "The strongest team won, but they won in the period when they were not stronger than us." I do agree.
Sorry, what's he saying there? I don't even know what he's saying there.
He's just trying to say that in the
like deflections. He's blaming it on the bad luck because
the game in the second half. I listened to the full press conference, and I would suggest all Manchester United fans listen to his full press conference. It was pretty long, around 10 minutes, and he went into pretty good detail. Now, the press, like anything, spin it, and they took a lot of these quotes about how he said Liverpool is good and the strongest team won, which, you know, I don't think we can deny. But he did say in the first 20 minutes it was really tough, but after that, Liverpool couldn't really keep up the pace, so it did look like it was kind of headed for a draw without those two kind of deflections, which is classic Mourinho trolling. But the one thing that I thought was really interesting about the press conference, if you watch it, and kind of what the point he got at, he went through all the sides that he's managed before. Inter Milan, how he played the back block. Real Madrid, how he did the quick counter because he had Benzema and Ronaldo. And how every single team he's managed to championships and have won with, he has done so via the personnel, via the qualities of the players. He has been able to identify the best qualities he has in a side and play those. And I think the larger point he was getting at was that he said that the players today played great. For the qualities that they have, they played great, which means basically that he doesn't see the qualities in his side that he can put into a team that can win, right? And so there is some component of that, and obviously we're going to get into the Mourinho out. We're going to get into the he's the worst and he's got to leave. But he is saying, you have to listen, he has a great record. He's talking about how he's had great players with great qualities. He's been able to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
And looking at this team, he got nothing.
Sir, he spent $150 million on midfielders that he didn't start, that he had at his disposal that didn't start. Right? He should have started Fred and Pogba because he signed those two players for a reason, to unlock Pogba. But like, that's his personnel, bro. He has those at his disposal. You have to make the most of the players you have. I know Pogba's got a shit attitude, but at the end of the day, you're playing fucking Liverpool. Play your star player.
In his defense, yeah, I agree. Playing devil's advocate.
I know. He's just being excuses.
Pogba's not playing well, so he has to play what he's got, right?
But he gets up. You're right. But when he does play well, if he shows a flash of brilliance for 20 minutes.
Did Pogba look good at Valencia? I mean, has he looked good since Chelsea? Like, it has been a while since Pogba's come off. And, you know, you have to think about it through the lens of, hey, I don't like Mourinho at United. It's not working out. It isn't going to work out. He's going to leave. But he's a smart football manager, and is there something he could tell us that we could take, like a grain of salt from Mourinho? He's trying to tell us about this team, and yeah, short of him not starting Pogba, but he basically thinks that these players aren't it for Manchester United, and I'm sure there's no magic formula or no manager that's going to come in and make this squad play great. I think it's literally almost another £1 billion that we need.
I think there is some good bricks, sir. I think a new coach, I'm telling you, just getting rid of Mourinho would just help a lot, sir, because everyone is so down because he's brought the mood down and no one has any confidence.
They're professionals, though.
I'm not discounting that, but they're human beings and they're not playing well, and no one has, you know, they don't have the wind behind their sails, bro. Right now they're just like, everything's against them. The manager's kind of a downer. You need a change, bro. We're out of top four. League's over. We got a hell of a draw against PSG, which I'm sure the Glazers are thinking, well, who's better than Mourinho that we have in-house that's playing the Champions League, has had upsets before. So I don't think we're getting rid of them, but I think they should because it's about time.
Yeah, but I think I agree we're getting rid of Mourinho. It's just more about he's arguably the best manager of the last, you know, 15 years is telling us that we don't have qualities in our team that we can use to compete with the Liverpools or the Manchester Cities of the world, or even on the European stage. And when he's sounding that alarm, which he did ask for more defenders, and Pep Guardiola at Man City, he bought defenders. They didn't work out. He asked the board to buy defenders again. They bought four more. So
a whole new back line.
They bought a whole new back line for Pep because the ones he bought didn't work out. So just because his signings, I think some of the defensive signings, he knew Lindelof wasn't working out. He wanted to buy another one. The board didn't back him. So I want to get at this point where it's not just Mourinho to blame. The players are to blame. He's to blame. The board's to blame. It's systemic at United.
It is.
And
the
blame should be shared. And him, because obviously I wanted Mourinho to work out. I think every Manchester United fan did. But him at this press conference, you should watch what he has to say. You have to agree with him a little bit. He's being very honest. He's being almost too honest in the manager role at this press conference, telling us what he thinks of the players and how they're just not good enough to really compete and be on this Manchester United team that he's managing. He's putting out what he's got. And obviously Pogba, the one asterisk you could put on the list of like, hey, maybe one player should have started. But who else, really?
Pogba, Fred.
But Fred didn't play well at Valencia. Yeah, he had a bad game.
Doesn't matter, you know? Bro. You throw him back in because he's the guy you signed for £55 million that should be playing a game like this because he's a high work rate. He can put in a tackle.
I don't think Fred would have made us better. Pogba might have.
I think Fred and Pogba, if you play with a more, you play a back four with a real midfield, I think it could have changed the result today.
I think Pogba, if he was on the field, he would have changed the tactics and probably the result.
And the mentality, bro, because he's on the field, right? And he's capable of a higher ceiling than a lot of these players are.
Yeah, but that's one player, right? And so we have to think of look at Liverpool, the starting 11 of Liverpool. Even the last podcast we talked about who would start in the Liverpool starting 11, and we didn't get a lot of players, and I think that's more of the theme that Mourinho's kind of alluding to here. So that's the only thing I could take away from Mourinho is I do think our squad isn't good enough, and we're going to get into another Manchester United legend, Roy Keane. He was quoted post-game, quote, some of these players I feel just aren't good enough for Manchester United. There's no point in being too critical. You have to reinvest. You have to get to the summer. You have to try to get fourth, and you maybe be a decent cup team. And that's really the reality here. I mean, I think what Mourinho said is, obviously I don't like Mourinho the way he's dealt with everything, but the point he's trying to get across, I mean, Roy Keane's echoing. It's like the team isn't good
enough.
Partially
these
players true. Aren't good
enough. It's partially true. Some of the players aren't good enough. We're underperforming.
I just don't
but
want
we should
this
be
whole,
19
like,
points off the league, bro. And we like it's yes. true to a certain extent. We need more defender. We need another center back, which we didn't get. We probably needed a right winger, which we probably asked for and didn't get. But that being said, this team is good enough to be in the top four, without a doubt. Right?
Absolutely.
If anything, we're third in terms of personnel. We have the third best team in the league. But we are performing like a mid-table side, and Mourinho needs to do better with the team he has. So it's like there's no excuses. I do agree that we need to make a major overhaul. The Glazers probably are not willing to do that. You got to get rid of the fucking Glazers. Like, apparently they're looking to get shopped, looking to get rid of Manchester United, but the market's still hot before everything crashes in the next 2 years, which, you know, depending on who buys us, could be either a blessing or a curse, right? We could have someone stingier than the Glazers, or we could have someone that's just like, let's get this team back to where they need to be because that will make it more valuable in the long run, which is, if you're smart, is what you would do. You make us sick again, and
no,
the brand's even more valuable.
No, of course, and that's – you have to – I think City have the case study there. I mean, short of breaking financial fair play.
which we wouldn't have to because we have real revenue, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's – you know, the players share some of the blame, right? I have to think that some of the squad isn't good enough, and some of the – and that's probably due to poor investment. Right, I think it's a lot of the players we bought just haven't come off. That's probably the thing to blame here. And obviously the tactics, how shitty we looked, and how none of the players are happy playing for Manchester United. That's all on Mourinho. Like, I am not saying that
it's
a
combo,
not,
sir.
Like, he has to go. Like I said, it's just like, you know, it's like one of those things. It just didn't work out. It's like a girlfriend. You have to break up. Maybe a different time.
Should have broken up earlier.
Different time, different place. You know,
should have got the new lease.
It's time for him to go. It did not work. He has to go. He has trolled us. Our team looks like they're not up for a match, even Liverpool. But I also think that the players have some of the blame. And if they can't get up for Liverpool and they can't get their role right, I'm sure Jose gave him a job to do.
It was a ridiculous formation, though. That formation made no sense.
Yeah, I'm sure he gave him a job to do, and they
defend,
didn't even
defend,
do that.
Defend. I mean, if it was just defend and get back, you know, that's what it seemed to be. It was just park the bus.
All right, next United legend to slate this squad, quote, Ryan Giggs, we used to have center forwards like Cantona who had turned bad balls into good balls. Now we have center forwards like Lukaku who turned good balls into bad balls. I think short of that cross into Alisson, Lukaku had a mare of a game. He looked like, I think if you watch Match of the Day, Alan Shearer showed the clips of last year playing Liverpool, him getting up, heading the ball on to Rashford, had an amazing goal, being physical, bullying the defense, and this match, he was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, they didn't have Van Dijk last year, bro.
No, that's true. You think Van Dijk's like Jesus, so like... Oh,
I don't think
like,
he's Jesus at all, bro.
I think
but
Lukaku
he's like,
is no, big but, enough to deal with Van Dijk. And that first challenge they went in 50-50, him and Van Dijk shoved him off like nothing. That was like,
I'm just saying, I think Van Dijk is a very, very good defender, bro. I don't think he's Jesus. I just think he's like highly regarded as a good defender. He
Lukaku
showed it today.
Lukaku should murk Van Dijk, bro. He should eat him for breakfast. Lukaku, he is lacking confidence. He is not coming off. His touch is letting him down, and he's exposed in this match. Giggs went into that as well, saying that if you have this type of match that's too quick, you know, your weaknesses are going to get exposed, and he looked
well, they should have shown
depth.
That. They never played the ball into space. They just played long ball, and they hoofball. Give that to Fellaini. He's better at that. He'll muscle off Van Dijk.
So is Lu... Is Lukaku the Manchester United number nine? Like, we don't need to go anywhere else. Like, he is going to be the starter.
You should
like,
get another one.
Of course, I think he's number two to the number one we need to buy, in my opinion. Like, the Zlatan, the one who will score the
goals. I think
he
showed last year he's good enough when he's, like, on form, playing with confidence. This team is not creating shit, bro. So just, like, hoofing the ball up to him and expecting him to make something of it. I think it was a little
last
unfair.
Last year he was fun. You can watch the
But there was
highlights
more to the game last year, sir. There was more doing. We had nothing. There was no puck on the field. There was no possession. I don't know.
You're a Lukaku guy. I got it.
I'm not saying he didn't play well. I'm not saying he played well, sir. I'm just saying it's like, I think you're...
When I see Lukaku on the field and I see him playing like that, you know, he didn't look like he wanted the ball. Even Alan Shearer, I'll take Alan Shearer's word for it. He was just like, something's wrong with him. His confidence. Clearly the service, I'll give him the service, wasn't good, but he had a bad game. You know, I think Rashford played all right. Lingard, you know, I it's hard. No one really came off for this in this match. All right, Gary Neville, you're going to slate him some more, sir. You ready?
Keep going, sir.
Getting real salty here.
Open wound. Just pour some more salt in it.
This is therapy right here. This is
some kind of therapy. Some kind of backwater therapy.
Some kind of therapy here. Quote, now... I can't even get through this. Now United fans, they don't know what they're going to get. They're not looking forward to the match. Well, I am, you know.
I'm always looking
forward
to it.
That's not just now. That was under Moyes, Van Gaal, and Mourinho, three managers who all have good records. You have to say that something's broken. Gary Neville.
All have good records. Moyes, what's his 42% win rate?
They're not the best manager in the world, but they're experienced
managers. But
Mourinho's
a good manager. I mean, he was a good manager.
I mean, these are good managers, and they came into this team, and like they all bought players. I mean, Moyes' signings worked out. Van Gaal's didn't. You know, Di Maria being the big one. Mourinho came in, Pogba, Lukaku, obviously. Something's going on at this team where we end up attracting top talent and then kind of maybe we pay people too much money. I don't know what it is, but
it's all about the big signing, bro.
There's like a curse here.
It seems we're just worried about like big marquee signings and not necessarily how they fit into the greater picture of building this squad. And it's all about like these big old signings that they can have to do a sweet promo for.
Exactly.
But we need to like, you know, you need to build like a mix of those and a mix of like some like players from the English Premier League that are just put in a tackle, put in a shift, our squad players. It doesn't all have to be like Sanchez's and Pogba's and
Lukaku's. What about a Chilwell from fucking Leicester City, mate? That would be another great signing. You know, we need to be starting pipping these EPL sides. 30, 40, 50 million to get these prospects coming up. Gary Neville, he decided to just double down.
Get it again.
And I like this quote the best. And we're talking about a lot of topics
here.
This
is a good quote.
There's no demonstrable sign from the boardroom they are backing the manager. There's no demonstrable sign they're going to get rid of the manager. It just feels like the club is stuck and there's nothing happening. Hashtag MUFC, per Sky Sports. I mean, Gary Neville, he looked completely like he had seen a ghost after watching that game. It hurts in his bones watching Manchester United play Liverpool like that. And, you know, it hurt. I mean, personally, it hurt me watching that. And just knowing that we're stuck, knowing the board won't act, knowing the players are out of depth and the manager's gone, basically, it's just tough watching a dead man walking right now at Manchester United, huh?
Which is not what you've grown accustomed to. It shows, I mean, this is a very enlightened quote because it shows that like the board doesn't know what the hell is going on, right? Like all these little things, big things, you know, like Jesse releasing a clothing line before the Northwest Derby. Just like no one seems to be running the club anymore. I bet they're so busy trying to find someone to buy it.
Sir Alex wouldn't let that go down.
No, he wouldn't.
The week of the Liverpool game.
No, they wouldn't.
No one would
he
even
would not,
think
dude.
About
no
it,
way,
right?
Bro. Do that like in the week up to Cardiff. Not now.
Do it in the summer. You know, it's you know, it's
you got football to worry about, and it should be all about football. And it's the biggest game of the year, and you do that kind of shit. It's just like it shows that nobody is pulling the reins at the top, and the club is completely mismanaged. It's the first time, like basically since the summer to now, sir, as you realize, like the club is like officially like being poorly managed.
I think
top
the
down.
Number one red flag is the fact that they, after 18 months, the board balked and they gave Mourinho his new deal, and then they didn't back him in the summer.
I mean, you can't
do
both.
You can't run a club like that. You either have to get rid of him and back a new manager, or you need to back the manager you got because they didn't, and that created all the issues in preseason. That created all the defensive woes that, you know, we've had right now, and that is really when the club broke. I mean, clearly the club probably broke when Sir Alex left, but this summer was the most public error that you could see. Something is wrong. something does not add up. The board thinks they know more about football than Mourinho. Then why are you having him be our coach? Why did you just give him a new deal? It makes no sense. It's bad business.
Nailed it, sir.
It's done. Well, Alex here.
Back
to the keyboard, sir. How about you give Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow, today? Give it to me.
Sir, these are rough. This first one, build a bonfire and burn United to the ground and start over. So that's how I felt after the game. Dude, hard day. It was a hard day. You were on Twitter all day. I had to get off Twitter. I almost erased it from my phone for the day. I had to go see a movie. Just check out.
What movie did you see?
I don't remember.
You don't remember what movie you saw yesterday. There you go. Next headline, sir.
Mourinho. Oh, my God. Is he still the manager? Question mark. Sir.
Mourinho.
He's still the manager?
I think it's like, I'm going to say it right. Mourinho. OMG.
Mourinho. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He's still the manager.
How is he? I thought maybe they fire him today. How is he our manager?
I was looking at Twitter today. I'm back online today. It was like, board has no intention of getting rid of Mourinho at the moment. It's like they're complete backing. He's got the complete backing. What's it going to take? Is it really going to come down to points? Like,
it's embarrassing.
We're going to come to the spring. We're 25 points out.
It's embarrassing. It's like usually in English football, if you sneeze wrong, you're fired. It's like, how is Manchester United? How do they not care? They've seen this happen at Chelsea.
Southampton did it. Teams that feel like they're going to get relegated are more eager to flip a coach, which makes sense because the consequence, we're not going to get relegated, so our consequences are less, but it's bad for the brand. And at this point, it's like, the guy from Red Bulls that Southampton just hired looks pretty good. He's excited. Yeah, he's excited to coach.
Yeah, I mean, we want someone who can get the best out of our players at the very least. And that brings us, that's a nice segue into our weekly Twitter poll.
What a poll,
sir. We tweeted out, let us know, Mourinho in or out. 213 votes in, 91% Mourinho
91.
Out. And there's only 9% Mourinho in. I actually tweeted out, for those of you who want him to stay, why?
Tell us why.
Nobody tweeted me back. So
tell us why.
I was yet to hear why Mourinho should stay.
Must've been the bots.
And, you know, clearly I'm Mourinho out. You're Mourinho out. 91% of the fans are Mourinho out. I don't think the board can survive much longer with that type of fan sentiment. I mean, I obviously was talking about Mourinho's post-game presser just because I want to hear what he has to say. Why are we so shit? You know, and he does have some point from some angle. That doesn't mean I want him to say. It's like, he's got to go. It's over. It's like, it could have worked out. It didn't. You got to move on. Once it goes skunk, you got to go.
I mean, the buyout amount went up, which is, you know, it's like funny. Either they never knew the price or they're just fucking with us at this point. But it went up like $8 million since last time we talked about it. It went from like 16 to 24 now all of a sudden. So who knows what it is? It probably is 24. Just pay it.
It's a lot of money. It's
a lot of money. Holy, yeah. That's a big check to write someone just to leave.
Jose, you knew you were going to have to pay him a lot of money to leave. We've paid everyone very well who had to leave our club. Checking in with the Twitterverse. Ooh, this is going to be just as hard, sir.
How much did you put in this?
This is called therapy. American Red Devils therapy here. At United_Webby. For those who don't know, Webby, he is on the full-time Devils account. He's hysterical. Hard to hear what he says sometimes, but he's worth a follow. Quote, for Christ's sake, Manchester United Football Club, I love you with all my heart, but you are gradually breaking into small pieces and it hurts like fook. F-O-O-K. Proper British spelling there. Webby, I have to agree. It does hurt, but I only let it hurt for a day and then I move on. If, for me, it's onwards and upwards. United are a great club. We have to think about how we're going to fix this issue, not lament about the past, because you can only give yourself so much time to be whining and crying over Liverpool. We got to be thinking about new managers, new players, new tactics, and, you know, just getting a good team out there.
New sponsorships, new noodle companies.
I don't think so, Eddie.
Sir, that's big money, big money. Sir, it's like getting stood up at Nando's, bro. Just like she never shows up, you know? Just like
stood up at Nando's. Why are you taking a date to Nando's? All right, next tweet.
Come on, Yana's eye style. That's what he did.
Ella at Melonad. This is fucking painful, not just because it's Liverpool, but because we're in absolute shambles. I don't understand the players. I don't understand the inconsistency. I don't understand the tactics. I don't understand the manager. I have to agree, it looks unprofessional at best.
Shambolic,
the product on the field does not match the $4 billion valuation price tag put on this club.
I think one of the commentators said, is like, if you looked at this club, you had no idea who they were. You'd be like, they're just a mid-table side.
Yeah, like came from the moon, and they weren't wearing the Manchester United jersey.
If you had no idea, if they were just like wearing some other kit, and you had no idea they were Manchester United, you had no idea with the most decorated club in England, like one of the greatest clubs of all time, most history, best youth academy. It's like, where was it? You just don't see it anymore. And that's why you need to do one change. And the first change is Mourinho, and then you go from there. But we need to do something soon, because right now it's just we're sitting in our fucking hands and we look like idiots.
We do. Next tweet, at AJ6144, poor leadership. They claim Pogba is a virus, but honestly, I'll take that virus over the garbage lineup Mourinho put out there today. Hashtag lost hope. And yeah, this is a shot at the manager. I would have to agree. Why not put Pogba out there? He's our probably best midfielder. He probably started in Liverpool for Klopp's team. Him being on the bench looking sad and wet.
It's another meme.
It's tough.
Meme.
It's a tough one. Next tweet from at Liam Paul Canning. I know you're a fan. A mighty goal difference of zero heading into the Christmas period. 17 games gone. What a wonderful season. This wouldn't stand at any other European club. And I would have to agree. The alarm bells are ringing on all fronts. The 19 points off the top, the zero goal difference, the most goals since 1962-63, and the board is chilling like a villain.
Dude,
with
no
Mourinho,
none right? of the other giants, right? And we're a giant, right? We're one of the giant clubs. Like
any club would fire
their
manager.
Let's talk about the giants. Barcelona, we're not as good as they have been recently. Barcelona, Real, Bayern, right? Even Liverpool.
You're fired.
You're fired, bro. You're playing this shit. It's like we're 11 points off top four. We're 19 points off Liverpool, and it's 17. Only 17 games.
It's only
the season.
Because they signed him. They gave him a new deal like literally 8 months ago.
And they didn't
ago.
Back him.
They
but that was a combo. You're right. They didn't
deal.
Back him. They didn't sign a center back.
Yeah, so
I know. It's
like,
madness.
It's like
madness.
With Mourinho, you have to know that you're dealing with like... Like it's
like a little kid
volatile.
With like a little
yeah,
kid with fireworks,
to,
bro. He's gonna throw them at you.
You have to give him everything he wants.
Exactly.
You know, you have to give Mourinho everything he wants because you know he's gonna turn bad. And then when he turns bad, it is bad. We are seeing it right now. Third season syndrome. We all knew it. Like you said,
He's shitting all over the place.
You told me not too long ago. You're like, for some reason, we didn't think it would happen here.
We didn't.
But we were naive, and it happened. It's like it's happening.
It's happened everywhere. History always repeats itself, right? Yeah. Happened in Chelsea twice.
We thought he'd be the new Alex Ferguson. He'd get it. You know, whatever. It's
but the club would enchant him with its romanticism and like its lore, the history. He wouldn't be distracted because he's up in the north. We had a million excuses, sir, and they were all wrong. Because at the end of the day,
never
he's still Jose
house.
Fucking Mourinho.
He still stays in a hotel. That says a lot.
He didn't buy a house.
Says a lot about Manchester.
That was pretty bad.
Says a lot
it's not about
it.
Manchester. That says like he was never in for the long haul.
It's a tough town. All right. At Malikins. have been told the Glazers are actively trying to sell the club at the moment. Not a surprise, obviously, but does explain a lot. So clearly this is a tweet. Credible account, though, and you have to think that this could be part of the reason why they're not firing Mourinho, right? They're just not as invested in seeing that the club, make Champions League football. They kind of know we're not going to make it. You're not going to get a better manager than Mourinho, kind of all that type of logic at the board level, which makes sense to the suits. But when it comes to the fans and the brand, they clearly are out of depth. And if they're trying to sell the club, it would explain why they don't want to, why they're not getting rid of Mourinho, I think.
From Mourinho's standpoint, it was like, oh, you know, if you have that pitch book already set up, sir, and it says Manchester United is one of the most storied clubs in England, have won the league 20 times, won Champions League 3 times, blah, 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 blah. They're managed by Jose Mourinho, who's won all these fucking awards. It's like, that's the thing you'd have to change. But at the end of the day, they should care about top four because that's a huge revenue stream that they're going to be able to sell off of.
Yeah, but it's why they're not engaged. You could say, hey, they're not engaged in the day-to-day. They're not worried about firing the manager, dealing with the interim manager situation because they plan on selling the club this year, and they're just going to let Mourinho be the manager and the new owner decide what they should do.
That means they're so unengaged that they don't even realize that, like, top four is within our grasp, bro. We have no reason we can't be in top four with this squad. We just have to get rid of Mourinho because... Anything will better now. I'm telling you,
almost out of it. I mean, I'm going to say that we're not making top four.
We're not making top four if they keep him around. But I'm telling you, if you fired him tomorrow, we would make top four. Because this team has enough in it. We have enough firepower. We have enough of a squad that we are better than fucking.
I bet you Vegas would put long odds.
Better than
that.
Arsenal. Better than Tottenham.
I mean, we would have a better chance, I think. But I don't think we would make it for sure. I mean, either way, this where there's smoke, there's fire. So. The Glazers got to be trying to deal this club at this point. It's not going to get – it's right before it gets ugly, and I don't think they want to be, like, firing some more bullets for some $100 million signings here. I think they're trying to slow that train down so they can take as much money off the table as possible. I mean, clearly that's their motivation. So there's only one buyer that makes sense, and that's Saudi Arabia, sir. I don't think there's going to be a business consortium that's going to pay that type of multiple on this type of valuation for this team. And the only reason why I think they'd be actively trying to sell, you know, would be if they had some big Mideastern oil money buyers.
I was thinking last night in bed, I was like, who do I know that could buy Manchester United? Who's got $5 billion just sitting around?
Bezos could buy him, but
he doesn't want him.
He doesn't want him, obviously. But
if I had $5 billion, I'd buy him. I mean, I'd be like, come on, long haul, bro. I'm owning this club for 100 years.
325, call the deal. I would buy him. Our next tweet, trying to look at the brighter side of things, from our Twitter handle at USA Red Devils. Probably worth a follow if you listen to this pod. Quote, the fans have been the backbone of this club through the good times and the bad. What this club has embodied through its 100-year-plus history is why I support Manchester United unconditionally. Ignore the BS. Never say die. Glory, glory, Man United. And this is just, waking up this morning, I realized you got to understand why you support this club. And sometimes your team sucks, and that's okay. But Manchester United means a lot more to the fans than it will ever to the Glazers or maybe Mourinho, even though he claims otherwise. And, you know, it's okay if the team sucks. You're going to throw good times and bad, but that's what makes you a quality fan. That's why Manchester United has unwavering support through all the difficulties in its history and has come back better than ever. And I do believe we will be back. Might take a little longer than we want.
But we'll be back, bro, because the bitter only makes the sweet that much sweeter. But United will eventually return to glory. We have to.
Well said. Next match, sir. That's why there's always something to look forward to in the world. Wonderful, wonderful footballing world of Manchester United. We are playing Cardiff City away Saturday, December 22nd at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. Generous kickoff at Cardiff City Stadium. Thought I'd give you a little history of Cardiff City. I don't know much about them either.
The Bluebirds.
They were founded in 1899 as Riverside AFC. The club changed its name to Cardiff City in 1908 and entered the Southern Football League in 1910 before joining the English Football League in 1920. They were the only club from outside England to have won the FA Cup, doing so in 1927. So if you're ever at a pub in Cardiff and they have trivia, that might be on it.
Because they're in Wales.
Because they're in Wales. The team's longest period in the top tier of English football came between 1921 and 1929. It's been a while. They spent 9 seasons in the top flight since this period, the most recent being 2018-19. And since 1908, the club's home colors have been blue and white, leading to a nickname of the Bluebirds, like you said, sir, with the exception of a period between 2012 and 2015 when the club's new owner rebranded the club and changed the home colors to red just because he probably liked red for some reason. Vincent Tan.
It's a lucky color. It's a lucky color.
Clearly, he's not there anymore.
Vincent Tan's been bumped.
So the Bluebirds, a lot of history. Long, kind of a struggle inside in Wales. It's not nice up there, so we should be hitting them for a lot of goals, right?
2 points from the drop, sir, so that means that we're probably going to come out nice and flat.
We've played them twice in the Premier League, winning one and tying one. Last time we played, we won 2-0 at home with goals from RVP and Mata in January 2014. And the last time we played in Cardiff, we tied 2-2, sir.
And Cardiff, like I said, sit 2 points from the drop on 14 points, while United are in sixth, 11 points from top four.
All right, now that you got the Cardiff update, what is your lineup, sir? What do you think?
This is the lineup that I want to see. I'm sure I'm not going to see it, but this is who I want. I want Big Dave in net. I want Mr. DeLow right back in the back four with Bailly, Lindelof, and Shaw. I think he's ready to start again. And a midfield three of Pogba, Fred, Fellaini. Front three, Martial, Lingard, Rashford. Dropping my boy Big Luke.
Your boy.
Dude, due for the drop.
I think he's due for the drop. I'm going to say Dave saves. Sorry, DeLo. I'm going Valencia. Sorry, Bailly. I'm going to go. I mean, you think Smalley might be back from his foot?
Jones might be back. Your boy.
It might be Jones and Lindelof. I'm going to say Jones, Lindelof, Shaw. Oh, you gave Pogba the start? I mean, this is kind of
90
like,
million
you know,
pounds,
you know,
bro, just sitting on the bench.
Dude, you got to play him. Matic, no drop Matic. Are you kidding me? Fellaini, and I'll actually say Herrera, Martial, Lukaku, and Mata is what I'm going to go for in my lineup. Not the lineup I want to see, but the lineup I think Jose might play, because obviously I'd probably start Pogba like you. But again, I'm not predicting what I want to see. I'm predicting what I'm going to see. Sir.
What are we going to see, sir?
Checking in with the bookies. United, hey, if you believe it, we're favorites here, minus 161. Cardiff, the upset at home, plus 450. You almost get 4.5 times your money. And the draw, plus 275. I bet the draw. That's probably some good,
yeah,
smart money on that. What's your score prediction?
Sir, I'm calling it 2-2. Calling the draw.
Calling the draw. I'm going to say United. We hit them 4-1, mate. Like easy it, as you like. It, just no like
clean sheet. No clean
easy
sheet, though.
Money. No clean sheet. How dare you? De Gea is still on my fantasy team.
Me too, sir.
I literally have no players from Liverpool and Manchester City, and I'm like at the bottom of the table.
Great because tactic. Great tactic.
I let my fanship determine my fantasy performance.
This
here.
Is why you do so well, right?
Historically. All right. United in the news. When Ronaldo was on our team, I was did
that's
very
true.
Well.
That's true. It's been
that
a bit.
Was a long time ago. Di Marzio, and this is per his website, Manchester United making strong push for Fiorentina defender Milinkovic, the 20-year-old 6'5 Serbian international, supposed to be the best Serbian center back since Vidic, and apparently we're in from Sir. What do you know?
21. That's what I heard, dude. I heard he's like a more aggressive, if you could believe it, Vidic, that's a little bit better on the ball, which sounds like a delicious combination.
He comes from Serbia.
A fucking Maria.
He fucking Maria.
But I like the age. I mean, the other guy we're looking at, Kabali, is 27. He's the finished article. This guy's more of a project, but he is a unit, 6'5", and he's 21. I say he signed both of them.
There you go. We're going to get into some POG drama here. Hashtag POG drama. I know he was sad and wet on the bench, but you knew it was going to lead to some headlines this week. Di Marzio, he reports, Manchester United do not want to sell Pogba in January, and that's what I've heard consistently through my sources as well. A meeting was held today between Juventus and Mino Raiola. The situation depends on Mourinho's future, and that's what Di Marzio is reporting. He's as good as you can get in the footballing rumor world, so Raiola and Juventus meeting, and just to, if there's smoke, there's fire. Per the Sun, Pog back, question mark. Pogba joins Dybala in Paris after Liverpool snub. Are they talking about Juve move? So Pogba, after we lose Liverpool, is hanging out with Dybala in Paris. His agent's talking Juventus. There's a lot of smoke here. What do you make of this? Is there a chance Pogba is out per Mourinho's request?
In January? Or general?
Both, I would say.
Mourinho's got to be the first to go. And then you reevaluate Pogba. If he's still an issue when you have a long-term replacement and this guy's like, yo, he's got bad attitude, we got to deal him. That's how you play it. That's the order of operations. Get rid of the manager. Then you reevaluate Pogba. He's still your big man star. He's still got a lot of talent, bro, and he still can be very good in this league.
What would you sell him for? What would be the price Juve would have to pay in January?
$150. Wouldn't even consider that lower than $150.
What if Dybala swap? I take Dybala.
You take Dybala straight swap?
I mean,
I don't know.
Swap plus some cash, but Dybala looks pretty lethal for Juventus. Something
maybe they're
maybe
talking because he's joining
play.
United. Yeah. Dybala sounds like a Woodward sign-in.
Yeah, there you go. That's one way to interpret it. All right, next article.
More good
bit,
news.
Bit of news. Manchester United draw PSG in the Champions League knockout stage.
Yikes.
I mean, I said it here. We're going to get one of the big teams. And we got Sevilla last year. We all know it's rigged. So if you got an easy draw, you're most likely getting a good draw. City, they clearly want them to win it. They gave them an easy draw in Manchester United. But, you know, the good part here, there is a silver lining for you and me. We will probably be going to this match because the draw worked out in our favor, and we're going to be playing that first game week. So we will be at Old Trafford, Fulham on Saturday, then Old Trafford on Tuesday, I believe, or Wednesday, to watch this game under the lights, our first Champions League game for the American Red Devils. So I'm pumped about that, and I think we have a shot, sir.
So we always have a shot. We're Manchester United.
10 players in the box. Neymar trying to beat that, bro.
Yeah, dude. Fellaini, bro.
Trying to beat that,
Fellaini's
bro.
Just going
to
batter him for 90 minutes. I can't wait to see it, sir. I mean, it's at home, under the lights. What else do you want? Hopefully we get our tickets. Applied today. I'm sure you did too.
European music. Yeah, I got my tickets. That'd be great. Something tells me it's going to be a tough match, though. Other notable draws, Bayern versus Liverpool and Tottenham versus Dortmund. I'll probably be watching those.
Definitely.
I think Liverpool will probably get smoked by Bayern. That'd be great. A good laugh. Alisson making an error, mate. You can always look forward to something here. You can always troll your rivals if you're not in the title race. Next article or bit of news here. Mason Greenwood hits a hat trick as United beat Chelsea 4-3 in the quarterfinals of the FA Youth Cup. Chelsea have won 4 of the last 5 years. I mean, huge here. Mason Greenwood. Manchester United youth players coming through. Why don't you give him a look, Mourinho?
Dude,
Lukaku is not looking in form.
I
put
would
him out
dude.
There
I
with Rashford.
I was just thinking against Cardiff. Why not? This kid is the real deal. Like
unbelievable
man, child, bro. Chelsea are a very good squad. Player got sent off in the last 10 minutes. This game, it was 4-1 and went to 4-3 at the end. But Mason was just like an unbelievable hat trick. Look it up. Watch the highlights. Bring him up to the senior team. Why not? Need another striker.
Next article, Duncan Castles. Manchester United would have to pay £24 million to sack Jose Mourinho right now, and it would go down to £18 million should they fail to qualify for the Champions League.
That's it?
Hey.
$6 million difference, that's it?
The board should fire Woodward
for that contract.
For
they
this
gave
contract
him.
He gave Mourinho. Should. Right. It should be Woodward out and Mourinho out, and they pay Mourinho the money. And Woodward, it should be Woodward's job for the stay of the club. I saw there was a clip of Woodward during the match where he was talking to Sir Bobby, and he was like clearly just complaining about what's being done on the field. And it's unbelievable that Ed Woodward would sit in the stands and complain about what's going on with this team when he didn't buy a center back last summer, and our defense is abysmal. So how is he not to blame? Like, what is going on in Ed Woodward's head where he escapes blame for the status of this team? And it seems to me that it's just busted all up and down this club. Like, the board won't fire him. He won't get what's coming to him, as well as Mourinho won't get what's coming to him because of the bad deal Woodward cut. So if anyone's to blame, I would blame Woodward even more than
Mourinho.
He's the
second guy you fire, bro. He's the second guy I fire. You fire Woodward. You got to fire Mourinho right now because we're just like completely falling apart. Yes. Yeah, that's how you try and salvage the season, hopefully finish in the top four. But yeah, Eddie has not earned, dude, giving away that contract in January. And then all of a sudden you don't pay any money in the summer to spend what you need to spend, only spend $70 million. He's the second pick slip I'd hand out.
No, I'd fire them both. Fire them both. Next article, don't spoil them when they aren't good enough for the club anyway. Paul Ince slams decision to hand Chris Smalling, Luke Shaw, and Jesse Lingard long-term Manchester United deals per the Daily Mail. The Smalling one is, I agree with, but that's under the assumption we're going to buy two center backs that will start in front of him. I don't think Chris Smalling should start on our team. I think he should be a squad player. I think Phil Jones needs to go. Luke Shaw, I think you give the kid another shot. Jesse Lingard, I think you need to sign under the assumption he will come good. Again, he's still he's 26, so he's not young here.
But he's not old. And he's good on England, bro. He looks great on England.
It's more because of the commercial and England connection, I think, why you'd have to pay Lingard. But at the same time, if you look at Manchester City, Lingard ain't getting into that team. He is not getting into that team no matter how you cut it. And he probably won't get into next year.
No, but he might get into Liverpool, though.
Maybe.
That's, he might get into Liverpool.
Maybe. I mean, like, yeah, and you'd like
in
to,
the midfield, right? I think he would. Like,
he
the same
looks
way
better
put,
on England, so maybe it's United are the issue, but... On again,
I think United
that,
are the issue, bro. I think everyone's playing like
dude,
shit.
He
Who
had the
looks
ball,
good?
He had the ball in dangerous areas in their third.
He did show some
against
judgment.
Liverpool, and he did
that
he,
run in
he,
on
the
run in
bad.
From Herrera was the one really bad one. You know,
yeah, it was. He took a shit shot instead bad. Of like putting Herrera on one on one with Alisson. I mean, and those are chances that we could smash and grab. But Lingard's just not coming off for whatever reason at this club right now. I still would sign him, but for me, it's the Ashley Young. The Matas.
Yeah, this list is better than some of the other ones, bro. I mean, Lingard you sign, Shaw you sign, and the only one I really have a problem with is Smalling, but I think he's your third back. You need, like, one of
we
the
can't
two.
Can't be giving away center backs right now.
No, you can't, because Phil Jones is worse and Rojo is worse. And you have one of the two of Bailly and Lindelof and then someone else. That's, you know, like Kabali. I think one of those two are good enough where you have a guy like Kabali who's just a rock, and they can be the second center back.
Yeah, so Smalling's on the spot. Enough. All right, fan questions. Ooh, these are nice. Ray from Coppell, Texas. What we're at the lowest point in my time as a United fan. Can it get any worse? Question mark.
Come on, Ray. It can always get worse.
I think it can because it shouldn't, because the board should fire Mourinho and fire Ed Woodward or do something in January. But I'm not gonna count on the board to buy in January. I'm not gonna count on the board to fire Mourinho even. Or fire Ed Woodward. So you're seeing something like the 2008 financial crisis. No one's getting held accountable for the shit show that's going on. I mean, this club has been basically milked all the money out of it. It's being run to the ground. The football is abysmal, and no one's being held accountable. Everyone's just keeping their job, easy as you like. Everyone's making money. Woodward's making money.
And it's happening in real time, which is the scariest.
The players,
right? It's all falling apart right in front of our face because they're actively pursuing an acquisition. They're trying to get bought. So they're just taking their eye completely off the football game, right? They should have known a couple weeks ago that you fired Mourinho, and now they're not in a position to do so. You just like you got to get him out. You got to figure out what
the
hell's going on.
It's unfair to the fans. It's really unfair that we don't have a director of football, or like they don't relinquish control of the footballing operations of the club to someone who can just like who cares and will do the work. It's just so ridiculous that we have to put up with this as fans. Even Mourinho sitting there, like he doesn't want to be there. he says, look at these shit players. I don't want to coach them. I mean, that's clearly not the right position, but it's his position. He's like, I'm too good for this team, and they're not good, and Pogba sucks. So why don't you just let Carrick manage them and try his best? So as fans, we're being robbed of an opportunity to do better here because there's no inaction. And so that's why I think it's going to get worse. You know, Ray, it's going to get worse because the board are not going to take any action, and you're just going to watch this meltdown. Cardiff, we might come back, but again, you're going to see these big matches against PSG. We got Liverpool and City, and man, it's going to be tough times. And we picked a hell of a time to start a podcast about Manchester United. I mean, oh my.
What great timing,
oh
sir.
My God.
God smiled down on us.
All right, next question. Ken in Nashville, watching the United legends commenting on this loss like they have seen a ghost. They feel it in their bones. The Liverpool hatred runs deep. Meanwhile, the current United players seem to be shrugging off mediocrity at the greatest club in the world. Do you think these players actually care about this club? I mean, it was watching these United greats like talk about them. Like, it's like Gary Neville was like, he played in the game. He hates Graham Souness. He hates Jamie Carragher. Him to watch that just made him so mad he couldn't even turn it on for the TV cameras. And having that, I mean, Neville wasn't the greatest United player, but it's almost like having that means more than whatever clothing line or young talent you got coming up for England in your side, right?
I mean, they're born and bred Manx. They like class 92. They all have bled for this club. Gary Neville is no Eric Cantona, but he's like, he never left anything on the pitch, right? Pure lung buster. They're seeing a team that they love more than anything. That's just like in complete disarray at the moment, bro. On the field, off the field, they see how bad it is, and it's playing out right in front of us. And they hurt as bad as the next red, because this club is in dire straits at the moment. Dire straits. The worst has been in the modern era, so it's like...
Yeah, but the players playing care the least. I think every fan cares.
The board doesn't care. Mourinho doesn't care. The players don't seem to care. A couple of them do, but like Rashford cares.
I think Mourinho cares about losing. I think he doesn't want to be there, but you know,
he doesn't want to be there though.
I think Rashford cares. I saw
De Gea
slam the post when the goal went in off the Shaqiri deflection. He cares a lot. I mean, Jesse, Pogba, Lukaku looked like he did. He played like he didn't care. In the second half, he really played like he didn't care. And, you know, I think it's hard to sum up. It's really hard to sum up. And, you know, I just know that any United team of old, say 10 years ago with the Rooney, every single player, doesn't matter their status in the team, if they were blessed with being on that team sheet, they would have done everything and anything in their power to try to win that game. And I honestly think it's this generation of players that we got to be careful, because it's more about the attitude from the players is more important. Because I don't care how big of a dick Jose Mourinho is, if I know anything about Manchester United and I'm playing against Liverpool, we are good to get up for that game. And man, it looks like a swing and a miss releasing a clothing line.
Tough stuff, bro.
The week before, like Sir Alex shaking his head in the stands.
That was sad. That was the saddest thing I saw all day. This poor old man shivering in the cold, just watching this like shit excuse for a Manchester United team just get bossed.
I've never seen him
by Liverpool.
Upset.
It's not that good, and we just like made them look like world class. And
he seems to be okay and happy at most matches.
That was it. That was the I never seen him make a face
him,
like that.
Him making that face.
Sir, it's like, a dark pod. We need some shout outs.
I don't know. It is a dark pod, but seeing Sir Alex make that face,
it broke
just,
my heart, bro. It broke my heart seeing the old gaffer look. It was a rough day, bro.
But it's almost like these players don't deserve, you know, to play for Manchester United, right? It's like, and I. Roy Keane did all that. I honestly think they're great players, and he said it. They're just not good enough.
Not good enough. But sir, we're gonna end on a high note, because life is not all. It's not all bad.
It's not all Liverpool.
It's not all Liverpool. It's not. It could be worse.
Could
live in Liverpool.
Hey, we're in the Champions League round of 16. PSG, they're weak. We're gonna smoke them.
We got a game on the weekend, and we have the greatest fans in the world, the American Red Devil fans, and we appreciate you big
killing
time.
It.
Top 10 cities, rolling 7 days. Where are you at? Number one. What you got, sir? Coppell, Texas, bro.
Woodland Hills, California. Number two, Louisville, Kentucky. Get that Louisville slugger in. At number three, New York, New York.
What up? Number
four.
Five, Diamond Bar, California. Number six, Chicago, Illinois. Another Texas. What up? Seven, Mesquite, Texas.
Brooklyn, New York, New York in 8. Big Timba, Montana coming in at 9. And London, United Kingdom, those posh Brits listening to the American Red Devils pod. We thank you guys
so much
for supporting the pod. Appreciate you, mate. We are obviously giving away some stickers. Give us an iTunes review on our pod, preferably a good one. Don't slate us like some scouse bastard out there. You give us a nice review. You screenshot it, send it to @USAREDDevils on Twitter, or email us AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We will send you a free American Red Devil sticker. It looks pretty tight.
Don't forget to send the screenshot, because we've been seeing a lot of good reviews. We appreciate it. Get your sticker, bro. Rep the brand. Rep the pod.
It's free. It's free.
Dude, it looks sick.
And obviously, you can support the pod with our store on Sunfrog. We got some shirts and mugs. I know Alex bought them for all of his siblings. We do very little promo stuff on this pod, but your support goes a long way. We are literally two diehard fans for 15 years on the couch. Just
give me an hour and 20 minutes of the worst Liverpool game I've ever seen. But just give the fans what they need.
It's therapeutic in some way.
It was free therapy.
It's funny, when we started doing this pod, we, you know, the team was on the up and up. You know, poster Alex, we're like, we love this team so much. We watch every game. Why not we do a pod? But dark days. It's dark days to do a pod for a team with this much adversity. But hey, we're trying to give you all the angles, play devil's advocate, and also look at the bright side from time to time. So we really appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll be getting you a pod after the Cardiff match. We hope everyone has a great holiday. There's going to be a lot of games. Boxing Day. We got plenty of matches over here in December. Let's hope we can advance on the top four. Please, maybe fire Mourinho. Please, we shall see.
Might get very interesting.
But as always, sir,
we're going to be kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.